Hello and welcome to our service from the Church of the Epiphany. Well, this Saturday, November the 16th from 9:30 to 12:30 is our Christmas Star Bazaar at the church. Details are in our email. Remember to bring cash. It's a cash-only event. We want to thank the Miller George Funeral Home for the Christmas donation to our church. We're having Mandarin lunch on the 23rd. You've got to sign up in order to get your reservations. We're having a number of draws at the church. Tickets will be available at the bazaar. Judy Cayley will be selling those. And we need cookies for Saturday, December the 7th, before 10 a.m., please. And that's for our cookie draw. Tickets will be $5 for $20. So be sure and get your tickets, and you may win your Christmas baking. Sandra has mint smoothies. The Christmas card program is in effect. The sheets are at the back of the church. The White Gift and Toonie Lunch, which is a support for our own food outreach, Sunday, December the 1st. Christmas decorating, Tuesday, November 26th, and everybody's welcome. It's a really nice way to enjoy the Christmas season at 10 a.m. at the Church of the Epiphany. Carols and Lessons service then is Sunday, December 8th at 7 at night. That's Steve and friends doing the music, followed by tea and goodies and a cookie raffle in the hall. That's when you get the chance to win a tin of your Christmas baking. Christmas Eve services. The New Year's Eve party has been announced. Tickets are on sale and actually going quite quickly too. The details are in our email. We're going to be making meat and veggie pies. Call Barb to order yours. Trivia night will be on Saturday, December the 25th. And we're going to be trying a turkey dinner, something totally new. And it's Saturday, February 22nd, not January 22nd, as the announcements say. That's a little typo. And the cost will be $25 and make a great Christmas gift for someone, especially if you give them the gift of your presence as well. Please remember our food cupboard, the Canada Church calendars. We have about 4 left. They're very nice quality wall calendars. Canceled stamps, please save those for Gloria. Rinsed empty drink containers for Dan Davies. And if you wish, our regular weekly donations or special donations may be sent to our envelope secretary. Now, the flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of our dear Vicky, given by her family. The opening of worship. Providing God, you journeyed with Ruth and comforted Hannah when their lives were burdened by grief. Grant us faith to believe you will provide a future where we see none, that bitterness may turn to joy, and barrenness may bear life. Amen. And now, the gospel reading from Mark. The End and the Coming of the Son, it's subtitled. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, by what sign that all these things are about to be accomplished." Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and saying, 'I am he.' And they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This will be but the beginning of the birth pangs." And now, a reflection. So, fresh out of business school, a young man answered a want ad for an accountant. Now, he was being interviewed by a very nervous businessman who ran a small business that he'd started himself. "I need someone with an accounting degree," the businessman said. "But mainly I'm looking for someone to do the worrying for me." "Excuse me?" asked the accountant. I worry about a lot of things, the businessman said, but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money worries off my back. I see, the accountant said. And how much does a job pay? I'll start you at $80,000, said the businessman. $80,000, the accountant exclaimed. How can such a small business afford a sum like that? That, the businessman said, is your first worry. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pay someone to do our worrying for us? It's amazing how many things we can find to stress out about. There's an old Irish poem by an unknown author that goes like this. Why worry? In life, there are only two things to worry about, whether you're well or you're sick. Now, if you're well, nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you only two things to worry about, whether you get better or whether you die. And if you get better, nothing to worry about. If you die, you've only two things to worry about, whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. Now, if you go to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, you'll be too busy shaking hands with all your friends that you won't have time to worry. So, why worry? We've all heard that one. The word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. And while we need to be attentive to life's concerns, worrying about them chokes the joy out of life. Worrying is like driving a car with one foot on the accelerator and the other on the brake. The wheels are spinning, a lot of rubber's being burnt, but you're going nowhere. Or as someone has said, worry's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. After all, gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety. And is this not a parable of our lives? We can all think of times when Christ has blessed our lives and we're not even aware of it, and we love him for it. Recent study found that people who jot down what they're thankful for each week feel more optimistic about their lives, exercise more, even have fewer visits to the doctor than people who write down things that annoy them or even neutral events. There's something about the spirit of gratitude that's healing to body and soul. When University of Connecticut psychologist Glenn Affleck interviewed 287 people recovering from a heart attack, he discovered that people who found some positive benefit from their attack were less likely to suffer another attack within 8 years. He recommends that each day we write down one or more things we're grateful for and read the journal once a week. Now, Dr. Joseph Murray agrees. In his book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, he describes a man who epitomizes this kind of outlook on life. He says, a number of years ago, I stayed for about a week in a farmer's house on the west coast of Ireland. He seemed to be always singing and whistling and was full of humor. I asked him the secret of his happiness, and his reply was, it's a habit of mine to be happy. Every morning when I awaken and every night before I go to sleep, I bless my family, the crops, the cattle, and I thank God for the harvest. There's something about a grateful attitude that seems to cause blessings to flow into life. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that worry strangles or chokes life. As we've noted earlier, gratitude allows blessings to flow, whereas anxiety chokes them off. But there's one more thing to be said. A person who experiences true gratitude seeks to be a channel of blessing to others. A truly grateful person cannot hoard God's blessings. A grateful person seeks to allow their blessings to flow through to others. There's a story that comes out of World War II about a man with a truly grateful heart. His name was Fred Hargesheimer. Hargie's plane was shot down over the Pacific Ocean June 5, 1943. Hargie parachuted into enemy territory in Papua New Guinea. Finding shelter in an abandoned hut, he lived for weeks on the snails he found in a riverbed. Daily, he recited the 23rd Psalm and reflected on the hope his faith gave him. The people in the area found Hargie after about a month. They showed him a note written by an Australian soldier that said that they could be trusted because they'd saved other pilots. They were Christians, and at great risk, they protected the American pilot from capture by the enemy. Eventually, Harji made his way off the island by submarine rescue. Years later, while corresponding with someone from the area, discovered his rescuers needed a school. All on his own, Harji raised $15,000 for a school building. He also brought in teachers. A few years later, he built a library and a clinic. Fred Harji Scheimer knew that he lived a blessed life, and so he decided to return those blessings to those who had helped him. That's not the exception, but the rule for people who are truly grateful. They want to pass on those blessings to others. We already know that, don't we? We're here this day to give our thanks to God for our many blessings, and we long to pass along the blessings that we've received. We've discovered that gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety, and we've discovered that a person who experiences true gratitude seeks to be a channel that blessings can flow through to others. And if you've been listening to this reflection to the end, please send an email so that we know you've been listening. Thank you very much. And now our hymn. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Descended the dead. Third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. And now our prayers. Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgivings and our petitions on behalf of the Church and the world. This week we pray especially for Barry and Linda, Debbie, Jamie, Jackie, Paul, Suzanne, Peter, Kenny, Jim, Norma, Dave, Peter and Dan, Mike, Scott and Lisa, Roger, Maxine, Wendy, Eric, Beverly, Sarah, Jane, Linda, Jackie, Cam, Janice, and Darren. Hear our prayers, God of power, and through the ministry of your Son, free us from the grip of the tomb. We may desire you as the fullness of life and proclaim your saving deeds to all the world. Amen. Let join together now in our Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now our prayer based upon Scripture for this week. Timeless one, you create all the moments of our lives, giving each its meaning and purpose. Strengthen us to witness continually to the love of Jesus Christ. May hold fast in times of trial, even to the end of the ages. Amen. And this is our blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. Do remember to let us know that you're listening. And now our parting blessing song.
Trust Him.